right, all right, all right. Isn't that great? Thank you, thank you, thank you for all those who are part of our Serve Day One community. Turn to somebody next to you and say, happy birthday. Happy 35th birthday to us, to Community Church. You know, I was thinking when I saw, I was seeing that video and seeing the Wingler House. And we threw that party there for the senior citizens that we had several of them say, if you would just send a bus, we would love to come to church. And the whole reason we came there is because they said, look, we don't need you to fix anything or do anything. We're just, we have a lot of residents that are lonely. And if you'd come, just spend time with them. So anyways, I had mentioned that last Sunday, and then everyone applauded that wouldn't it be great to have them come over if we sent a bus there. And then I said, well, if you're serious about that, why don't you bring me some money to help buy a bus? And then everyone stopped applauding, and it got quiet, and they're like, I just said it in passing. But anyway, someone after the service came up to me and said, I really felt like the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. I can't really leave until I do this. And so she gave an offering towards that bus that we could send over there. It's a beginning, just a seed. But I just want to go out and say this. If you would like for our church to be able to get a bus to go to that senior citizen home and pick up residents so they could come and enjoy God's house as well, that we'll gladly accept that. And then we need about 100 other Team Orangers, volunteers, to help make that happen as well. You think we can do that? Wouldn't that be great? So I'll just leave that with you. You can come see Pastor Brian or myself if you'd like to be a part of that. Go ahead, take your note sheet out if you would. We are in a series. It's good to see you celebrating today the presence of the Lord. The service hosts are coming down. If you did not receive an outline, if you're new with us, you're wondering what's going on right now, this is a church that takes notes. It's crazy. We fill in the blanks. There's pens in the seat backs there in front of you. I want everyone to have something to follow along with. I feel uniquely qualified to teach on the subject this morning about how to tap into the strength and the help of God. Because Jill and I just finished a 12-person team run for 200 miles from Cumberland Gap, and we finished in Washington, D.C. Last night, and yes, here I am standing before you. So teaching on the help and the strength of God. How do we tap into that? I want to ask you four questions. Because I've already preached this once, I know how long it takes. So the people who are really like want every little blank filled in, we're going to go ahead and skip the review part. Look at your note sheet. We're going to skip that. And we're just going to, I know you're anxious already. You're like, oh no. Well, come up to me afterwards and I'll give you those fill in the blanks. For the sake of time, we're going to skip review and get right into how do we tap into the strength and the help of God. Here's a thought. This was years ago, and I think we still do this. When I was camp director, we would teach the kids a camp song, and it went like this. Higher, 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 higher. Lift Jesus higher, lower, lower. We have some camp people in here. You feel free to sing with me if you want. Lower, 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 lower. Stomp Satan lower. Super, super. Super, 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 super. Supernatural power. Super, super. Super, 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 super. Some of you guys aren't going to sing with it. Supernatural power. Cast your burdens upon Jesus, and then we do a little salsa. For he cares for you, and cast your burdens upon Jesus. He cares for you. Higher, 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 higher. And then we get everyone we start taking off from there. I was reminded of that song when we come to that part, super, super, and we're all flexing our muscles. Now, I just want to say this, ask this question. Is that just a nice little kid song to like take up time before we get to the next activity, or a nice little cute song to like trick or dupe kids into thinking that everything is going to be all right when it's not? Or is that song a core foundational truth of reality? That I don't simply have to live, here it is, based on my natural strength, but that I can tap into supernatural strength. Hence, we're talking about tapping into supernatural, tapping into the power and the strength and the help of God. Let's go to a passage of Scripture and look at this. Ephesians 3:20. It says, now read it with me if it's up there. Now to God who is able to do immeasurably, now look what he's able to do, immeasurably more than all. Say that's a lot. Turn to somebody, point at him, say that's a lot. How much is it? Look at the Scripture. Immeasurably more than what you what? Literally in the Greek, than what you ask or think. So whatever you think, God can do more. And whatever you ask about, he can do even more than that. Immeasurably more. That's the power. Now, we introduced this subject last week. That's the power of God. Just want to remind you of that. Now, look at this next phrase carefully. According, come on, he can do a lot of things, but it's according to what? His power that is at work where? His power at work in us. So I was thinking of illustration the other day. I sat in the chair in the living room, reached up to turn the lamp on, you know, a little knob, and I click, 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 nothing happened. So get up out of my chair, go over and make sure the light switch is on. Turn the light switch on, get back in my chair, go over to the lamp, click, 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 no light. So then I'm like, I unscrew the light bulb, put it in my ear, shake it a little bit. Anybody still do that? Shake, you got light bulb shakers out there, shaking, and it's still good. Still got some hours in that. Back in, click, 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 nothing happened. So now I'm looking for the cord for the lamp, and I find the cord, crawl around, push the chair back, make sure it's plugged in. It's plugged in. Still not working. Click, click, click. So I go down to the basement and find the circuit breaker. Now I'm looking in there, and I'm doing all this. Never one time, now listen to me, never one time doubting the existence of power. I'm never one time doubting or saying, well, electricity must not exist. It never entered my mind. It wasn't even there. I was just like, I've got to keep searching until I find the place where there's a disconnect, where the power is not flowing. Now, I want to submit to some of us here this morning that they're maybe sitting here and say, well, I've never felt the tangible strength and help of God in my life. Or maybe you're here saying, well, I think I have felt it, but it was so long ago that I don't really even remember it. And now I'm in a place where I'm just living, and I'm just like, well, and I want to submit to you, maybe it's not because there's not power. Maybe it's not because God is not powerful. God is the Almighty God. That's where we started last week. We just established a baseline. God is mighty. But maybe the reason we're not feeling his tangible strength and favor and help in our lives, whatever that looks like, is because possibly there might be a blockage, a disconnect in the flow. So with that thought in mind, I just want to, here's four questions. I want us to each examine our own lives. There's four questions that I want to use for us to examine the connection with the strength and the power of God in our lives. Let's begin. Tapping into the strength of God. Question number one, as I find my place here. Question number one. I found it. Okay. Do you have a negative outlook? We might say it like this. Do I have a negative attitude, perspective? It is very, just say this, God normally does not pour out his strength, his favor, his power in someone who is looking at their life and their circumstance through a lens of God is weak, God is not in control, and God doesn't care. Let's say it again. God normally does not pour out and lavish his strength on someone who's viewing their current life and current situation as God is not in charge. Or he's weak, or he's unable, or he's unconcerned, he's far away. I want you to consider the attitude here of Paul, who is an early follower of Christ. Here's the context. Now get ready. He's been arrested. He's in jail in Rome, away from home. They've taken him to Rome. He's chained to a Roman guard. And on top of all of that, you know who's in who's in charge, who's in the current administration in the Roman Empire, who's emperor? Nero. This isn't mythology. This is actual history. Christianity deals with history. So Nero's on the throne, and here's Paul, a follower of Jesus. He's in jail, just waiting what's going to happen to him, and he picks up a pen, he asks for some paper, and he writes this letter to the Philippians. Now, I want you to just imagine his attitude in that circumstance, and we're going to start reading. We're in Philippians 1:3. It says, I thank my God every time I remember you. This is he's writing to Philippians. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with what? Joy. And he goes on, we're going to skip down to verse 6, being what? What do you mean being confident? Paul, you have no reason to be confident. You're in jail, chained to a soldier. Nero's on the throne. Everything is bleak in your life. All the circumstances are saying negative things. I am confident of this very thing. Keep going with me. That he who started the work is faithful to complete it. In other words, what God has started, he's going to finish. I'm confident. My confidence is in the Lord. And then he goes on to say, I want you to know. Now track with me here. Consider his words. Consider his attitude. I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for what? I don't know. It's not up there. Is it up there? The things that have happened to me have actually turned out for what? For the furtherance of the gospel. And then he goes on in the letter and says, actually, while I'm here, I've been able to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the guy I'm chained to. And then I've also been able to share the good news with the rest of the Roman soldiers and even the palace administrators. Think about that. The very heart of Roman power is hearing about the good news of Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying, if I wasn't put in prison and wasn't arrested, I wouldn't be here and have this opportunity. It's actually turned out for good. Where does he get that kind of attitude and that spirit from? Look what he goes on to say in chapter 4, verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord. What? Come on, help me out now. Rejoice in the Lord always. That Greek word rejoice means it's a command, first of all. It's not like, no. It's be happy. Well, be glad. Literally, put on your dancing shoes. Dance around. Well, I can't because of the circumstances. Well, the circumstances aren't the source of your gladness and your joy and your strength. The reason why some of us have lost our strength is we've put our strength in something else. And that something else is up and down and changes and shift. But when our strength is in the Lord, there is great, great power and strength. Why? Because power and strength, we talked about last week, belongs to the Lord. Rejoice what? This is a key phrase. Rejoice. This is Philippians 4 and 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and he says, again, I'll say it, what? That's awful. Have you guys had your coffee this morning? The 9 o'clock service was more lively. Here we go. Let's read this again. Rejoice in the Lord, what? Always, and I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let's just stop there. Rejoice, that's a key power phrase. It's in the Lord. the source of my joy and thus my strength is in the Lord. In your notes, joy, not gloom, not despair, not woe is me, not moping around, not this is it, or not I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. I just know what's going to happen. No, no, no. Joy is an authentic hallmark of Christianity. If we're Christians, if those who are truly understand that the Christian faith, joy is an authentic mark of that. Why? Because our source of strength and joy is in the Lord. I can be in prison and still be rejoicing in the Lord. Wherever I am, I can rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because I know that He is the Lord. In other words, if this door closes, the Lord must be opening up another door. I know the Lord. The Lord must be setting something else up. I know the prognosis is bad, but even if I die, I wake up immediately in the presence of the Lord. You know, things are getting ugly out here, but God must have something up His sleeve. The best days of the church are ahead of her in Jesus' name, because the light shines brighter the darker it gets. You know, even when it seems like the devil's winning, God must be setting things up. What was meant to harm me, you know, has actually, Philippians, listen to me, what was actually meant to stop me is actually promoting me. How can you do that? Because I'm rejoicing, come on, in the Lord. Now I want to stop right there. Has your perspective cut you off? Some of us have replaced our strength in the Lord for anxiety in the situation. That wasn't even in my notes. I just saw this, that just came from the Lord. Come on, let's look at the connection. I'm calling you to remember the Lord who said, nothing is too difficult for me. This is so elementary, but I know we're just going around checking the connection. The second thing I want us to ask ourselves, not only is to check our attitude, but the second thing is, it's very simple, but I want to make sure that we just check it. It might just be the plug, something that simple. Are we praying? No, really, I want to ask you, are you praying? Talking to the Lord. I read a fascinating story. I'm reading Dr. Samuel Hussein Lamarty's autobiography, The Unforgotten Years. And he's telling his story of 6, 7, 8 years old growing up in Muslim Morocco and in a little village there. And there was a medical missionary, Dr. Rigby, who moved from Great Britain and bought a little home in that village to serve the community and help them with medical needs. And he said he remembers as a little boy, he would pass by the missionary house where the doctor lived, and he would visit there frequently because Dr. Rigby would give out candy. And all the little boys and girls would gather around. He would give out candy. And while he was giving out candy, he would hold a little service and tell the kids stories about Jesus. And then he would teach them songs about Jesus. I'm thinking maybe a song like we were singing, higher, higher, get all the kids higher. He said, but the only reason I was there is because of the candy. And I could relate. He said, I just visited there because of the candy. But he would hear stories about Jesus and learn songs about Jesus. Anyways, we fast forward now. He's about 16, 17 years old, and there's a program for all the young men to take, and it weeds out those who will be admitted into Islamic seminary to become an imam. And there are 200 boys, 16, 17 years, who are going to this exam, and only 4 would be admitted into Islamic seminary. His dad had died at a very early age, and his grandfather was raising him, and he said the hope of the whole family, the pride of the whole family was on him because he was accepted into the 200, and now it would be whittled down to the 4. And he studied the Quran. He was memorizing it, everything about the Quran. And then it finally came time for the exam. The night before, he's laying in bed. He's tossing and turning. He said he's just suffocating with anxiety. He could not sleep, and he's just worrying and worrying, thinking about the test. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Dr. Risby in the mission house came to his mind from him when he was 6 and 7 and 8 years old. And he remembered that Dr. Risby taught him that Jesus was the Prince of Peace. What's that mean? I know that's a title of Jesus. That means that he's the author. He's the one, like no one else, that can bring peace. And so that little seed that he learned as a little boy, he remembered. And he was laying there on bed and he thought, well, I'm going to pray to Jesus. So he simply said, Jesus, will you help me sleep tonight and pass my exam in the morning? And he said, the only thing I can tell you is that a great calm just came over me and I fell fast asleep. I woke up the next morning and I was walking to the place of the exam. He said, normally I would be worried, but I wasn't worried at all. I walked in, took the 6-hour exam and just left. And normally I'd be worried, like, what are the results? And I just went about my life just going on. And all of a sudden, 2 days later, one of the students come running up to me saying, Muhammad, that's his real name, Muhammad, did you see your names on the board? You're one of the four you got in. He was so excited and the family was so proud. Now, at that point, I'm reading the book. Because I'm thinking through it, I actually put it down a little bit, and I had this little question in my mind. It said, seriously? Are you thinking the same thing? Jesus answered the prayer of a Muslim boy to go to Islamic seminary? I'm like, so Dr. Samuel continues the story, and he said he remembered that he prayed that prayer, and a crack entered into his perspective, into his thinking. And it went like this: Jesus heard and answered my prayer. He couldn't deny it. You see, Christianity wasn't just some creed or philosophy or you read a nice little story. It's not just words, it's power. Strength from God. And so now here's a young man going into Islamic seminary who's now brushed up against authentic power in the name of Jesus, and that begins his journey to faith in Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you, I want to remind you that prayer is how God shares his power, his strength, his help with us. It's God's method of power sharing. So just before we just brush past this, it's like, I'm doing that. I want to ask you, seriously, are you praying to the Lord? Look at a couple of scriptures to remind you. Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. You see it up there? Come on, if it's up there, let's read it together. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Our prayers always to be mingled with thanksgiving, but we have a choice. We can worry or we can pray. Let's try it again. Philippians 4:6. Do we have it? Can we put it up there? Let's read another one. Jeremiah 33:3. This is what the Lord told Jeremiah. Call to me, and I'm not going to listen to you. No, that's not what he said. He said, call to me and what? Do you believe that? That's what Jeremiah said the Lord told him. Call to me, and I will what? Answer you. I'm going to show you things that you didn't know before you started to pray. Hello, businessman. Some of the greatest businesses and entrepreneurship and ideas and mystery solved and medical things are just waiting to happen. Birth, in the strength and the help of God. Call to me. Call to me. Tap in to my strength. Look at James 1:5. If any of you needs wisdom to know what you should do, is that up there? Has anybody ever been here? Anybody need some wisdom to know what to do? Come on. Anybody? If any one of you needs wisdom to know what you should do, you should what? And he will what? Why? He's the most generous, magnanimous, most kind, most good, most being there is. Ask him. You need wisdom, and he'll give it to you. Let me just drop something in there too, because I've never met anybody who's like, I don't need wisdom. I've got it all figured out. Everyone's like, yeah, both hands up, Pastor. Need the wisdom for it. Now listen. Here's the thing is, most of the time, the wisdom and the answer are staring us right in the face. And yet we've got our hand up going, yeah, I just need some wisdom. I don't know what to do. And the what to do is right there in front of you. And it's usually Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday in God's house. He's telling you, this is your next step. This is your next step. This is your next. All the time, Lord, just give me wisdom. I had the wisdom. And he's so generous to give it. And give it. Pastor, where are you going with this? Here's the thing. Just accept the wisdom that God's given you right now. If you've asked him, he's so kind, he can't help but not give it to you. He's given to you. But here's the thing, will you receive it? Receive it. So simply, let's ask, are we praying? Number three, third question. Is there, we're thinking about this connection, is there any undealt with sin issues in our lives? I heard about another guy who's in his 40s, got a couple kids, married, got a couple kids, and that's where the similarities stop with me and him, because he's a triathlete, just works out nonstop, just always taking care of himself, eating right, doing everything perfect. He's in a triathlon. He finishes with his bike portion, getting ready to run. And as soon as he takes his first step running, just hits the pavement, just out cold. They rush and pick him up, rush him to the hospital. They find out he has a 90% blockage in the main artery, his heart. 90%. And if you look at the things that clog, now listen to me, clog the flow of blood, of life in our arteries, in the same way there are things that can clog the life flow of the strength and the help of God's grace in our lives. The scripture calls this sin. Sin. When we step out of the will of what God wants for our lives. So in your notes there, sin blocks, with that analogy in mind, sin blocks the flow of God's strength in our life. Here's my question. What are the big ones? I mean, what are the big ones that would just immediately get in there and block that flow of God's grace in our lives? Quickly, I want to just point out some big ones. There are some lesser ones. But these, in my mind, are some big ones that immediately cut off the strength of God. Number one is pride. Pride. James chapter 4, James says it like this, God resists what? Come on, let's read it together. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So then, let's stop right there. God does what to the proud? So forget about accessing his strength. You're not just not accessing his strength. You have a limit. It's actual resistance because of a heart of pride. But the scripture says he gives what? There's that power, favor, strength, help to those who are humble. Lord, I need you. By the way, I want to thank you for being in God's house. That's one of the signs that you put a stop on things and you physically tell God, God, I need you. He gives grace to the humble. Let's go on a little bit. So then, do what? If that's true, so then, do what? It just makes sense. Submit to God. Why? Because His grace, His favor, and His strength flows into a life that's submitted to God. How do you show God that you're walking humbly before Him? Submission. Lord, I submit to you. Resist the devil. He'll run from you. I love this promise in Scripture. Come near to God, or draw near to Him. Come close to Him. And how does He respond? Scripture says. How does He respond? He will come close to you. Wash your hands. He's not talking about literally washing your hands. He's talking about what we're doing right now. If there's a blockage of sin or pride, I repent and I humble myself before Him. Pride. Secondly, big blockage to the flow of God's favor and strength in our life is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Relational, Pastor Charlie, what are you talking about? Relational hurts. Relationships, relational hurts and pains that have just been glossed over, not dealt with. I was sitting down the other day to work. Much like many of you, you sit down to work. Some of you sit down at a computer. Some of you get in your van. You're going to go repair something. Many times when I get ready to work, I'll say this prayer, Lord, help me. Very simple prayer. Something like this, Holy Spirit, help me. Doesn't take too much. I'll just pause. Would that take 15 seconds? Take a deep breath. Holy Spirit, help me. Thank you. He doesn't refuse prayers like that. I just say thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, thank you. By the way, you can say that prayer as well. Anyway, I was sitting there and I just said, Holy Spirit, help me. And immediately I remembered that I had hurt someone relationally. And there was distance between us. And the words of Jesus came right to my mind where He said, if you come and offer a gift on the altar, and there at the altar, remember, this is Jesus talking now. This is His advice, His instructions. If you come and offer a gift, and there remember that your brother's been hurt or your sister's been hurt, leave your gift. First, He says, go be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. And I remembered that. And here I was getting ready to work and I was offering my gift, my prayer. Lord, help me. What was I doing? Asking for His strength, right? But there was something blocking it. There was unforgiveness. Undealt with relational issues. So I set up a meeting and met with this person. I said, look, will you forgive me? This, that, and that, this and that. I listened. I said, yes, I'm sorry. What was happening there? Removing the clog, the disconnection. So the flow of God's life and strength can come through. Some of you are sitting here and you're not accessing the full strength and the help of He wants to. Why? Because the disconnect in there. And you're sitting here going, yeah, but I'm right. Listen, rightness, you being right, is not what's blocking God's flow of grace and strength in your life. It's the bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart. In your heart. Where God knows and sees. And He wants to help you get to that next place or whatever it is to live with the super, the natural power. But unforgiveness. Lastly, just a major clog, and what a rebuke to where we are in today's society is this block here of treating or viewing someone else as less. Treating or viewing in your mind, viewing someone else as less. Maybe they're unimportant, they're dumb, they're different, they're... Look at the words of Scripture, what it says. This is John. John says, anyone who claims to be in the light, consider the words. If it's up there, read it with me. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister, care what you say, doesn't care what you say. Yeah, but I'm sorry. You're not in light. You're completely in the dark, even though you think you're in the light. This is the worst deception. Whoever claims to love God and yet hates brother, sister, is a liar. Keep going with me. Whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God. So we always need to, we check our own hearts. Is there any undealt with issues in our heart? I want to go back to just a passage of Scripture, Isaiah 59, verse 1. We're talking about God's power and strength. Hear the words. I don't know if we're going to be able to get it up there. I want you to hear the words. Don't think that the Lord is too weak to save you or to what? To hear you. Don't think that. Don't doubt the power. It's there. It may be because of what? Let's just stop there. I don't need to. There might be something there that you just need to, by God's power, by the power of His Holy Spirit, remove. You say, Pastor Charlie, what do? I feel so convicted right now. I'm in God's house. And you know what that conviction is? That's God reaching out, wanting to help you. Say, remove that thing. Well, what do? The Scripture says if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to what? To forgive us, to cleanse us. So I say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me for not treating that person better than myself like you treat me. Lord, help me to forgive that other person. Lord, help me to make that connection. Lord, help me to walk in humility. In Jesus' name. Last, fourth question. Tapping into the power of God. Four simple questions to ask ourselves, to examine ourselves. Are you taking God's house seriously? God's house, His family. Where is it? God's family. Is God's family still just one of many peripheral, extracurricular activities? Or is it a core value? I come to God's house, do I act on what He's teaching me, what He's showing me? Have I gone through taking next steps and participating in His home? Look at 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know? What? What's it say? Do you not know that you, just real quick so we're all on the same page, the you in Greek is plural. It's not talking about you individually. It's important you understand that. Not you individually. Well, I just worship God by myself in nature, or I put my headphones on, go for a run. You can do that all you want. But that never replaces God's family. Do you not know? Maybe you don't know. This is the first time you're hearing this. Do you not know that you all of us, plural, all of us together form what? The temple, the house, literally, the house of God. And in His house, what can be found? There you go. His Spirit and His presence. What's that code language for? Power. God's presence and Spirit is His power. Anytime God is doing something that you know it's happening, whenever you read about it in Scripture, God's Spirit is moving right there. Even from the creation, when there was nothing, it said the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep. He was getting ready to move. So where do I encounter the power, the Spirit of God? It's at his house, in his home. We come together. We come together. You know, we are celebrating this morning those who have taken their next step in God's house and are coming to the waters of baptism to be baptized. Pastor Charlie, what's that? They're just taking a next step in their journey with the Lord and experiencing. We're going to witness our brothers and sisters experiencing a new level of God's favor and God's strength and God's power in their lives. For those who are new with us, let me just give a couple instructions that they're coming to be baptized and we're going to celebrate their baptism. We're also, out of all the people getting baptized, unable to hear all of their stories, but we've recorded one of their stories. We took our cameras and recorded one of their stories. This is not an actor. These are just normal people like you. They all have stories, but they all have this in common, that God is working in their lives. Let's pray right now before we celebrate. We hear one of their testimonies and celebrate their baptism. Lord, so good to be in your house. So good to be in your house. Lord, where I'm not just instructed in your word, but I also have an opportunity to encounter your very power and your strength and your help. And Lord, I just right now pray for that person, Lord, who's maybe here and really wasn't expecting too much. But by your Holy Spirit, Lord, you're showing them that there's so much more. There's so much more. And Lord, I just pray for them right now, God, that today is going to be the day of a brand new beginning. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen.